and our Lord Jesus Christ. The parables of Jesus are like missiles that are being launched against the kingdom of darkness in men's hearts. They're used by Jesus to destroy the self-confidence in men and women, and they are used to overcome all opposition to their conversion to Jesus Christ. Jesus' parables really confront people with a decision that they need to make in relation to who He is. And then this decision is a decision that's going to change the way they live, and it's going to identify them as either being inside or outside the kingdom of God. Now, prior to this account, Jesus has just told the parable of the seed and the soil, which we just read. And that parable was Jesus' key parable. It was the blueprint parable, which demonstrated how all the rest of Jesus' parables were going to work. What the parable of the seed and the sower and the soil shows us is that not everyone who hears the gospel message will be saved. Those who see Jesus for who He truly is, to those who are committed to following Him and hearing His word, Jesus explains to them what His parables mean. But to those who are not close to Jesus, to those who do not see Jesus Christ for who He is, they do not hear His word by faith in Him. And thus for them, the true meaning of who Jesus is and His preaching is hidden. I want us to notice this morning that Jesus wants everyone to hear His message. He wants everyone to hear His message. He doesn't want His identity to be a secret. And so He tells another parable to explain to us that truth. And so the theme for this morning's sermon is, and it's in your bulletin, because Jesus reveals Himself to us, we ought to hear His voice and reveal Him to the world. And we'll consider that theme under two headings. First of all, see the light. And second of all, soak up and shine the light. So firstly, we need to see the light. Jesus says there in verse 21, a lamp is not brought to be put under a basket or under a bed, is it? Is it not brought to be put on the lampstand? Basically, Jesus is asking, why do you take a lamp into a house to hide its light? Boys and girls, just imagine this. If the power goes out in the middle of the night, do you turn your torch on just to hide the light? Just to make the room dark again? No, you turn that torch on, don't you? You hold it out in front of you so that you can see where you're going or you can see what you're doing. Now, the lamps that they would have used in Jesus' day were these clay bowls that contained a lot of oil. And these oil lamps or oil lights would give off the best amount of light when they were lifted up and they were placed somewhere in the open where they'd be able to shed light all around the room into every single corner. Now, Jesus is using this analogy to get people to really sit up and think, to bring to mind the Old Testament that His predominantly Jewish audience would have known really, really well. In the Old Testament, the lamp was a metaphor for God. 2 Samuel 22, verse 29 says, "For you are my lamp, Lord, and the Lord illuminates my darkness." A lamp was also used to describe the Davidic Messiah as well. It says there in 2 Kings 8, "However, the Lord did not want to destroy Judah for the sake of His servant David, since He had promised to give him a lamp through his sons always." And obviously the most famous Old Testament lamp passage, Psalm 119, verse 105, David says there, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." And so this lamp imagery that Jesus is using really brings to mind these three Old Testament things, doesn't it? It points to God, it points to His Word, and it points to the coming Messiah. Now, our NASB doesn't have the best translation in relation to the significance of the lamp. In verse 21 it says, "A lamp, Now, the Greek uses the definite article the to emphasize the lamp. The lamp that Jesus is talking about here is not just any lamp, it is the lamp. And that's significant. Because the language of Scripture always alerts us to the importance of this particular lamp that Jesus is talking about. And as you read that sentence, you see there Jesus' reference to the lamp being brought. The Greek word we have translated as brought is more literally translated as come. Literally, Jesus is saying the lamp does not come to be put under a basket. That's pretty strange language, isn't it, boys and girls? Ordinarily, a lamp doesn't come into a room all by itself, does it? No, someone carries that lamp. So it sounds a little unusual. But this coming that's being referred to here by Jesus Christ is language that refers to the coming Messiah. This is no ordinary lamp. The image used here in this parable points to Jesus Christ as the lamp. If you read the first chapter of John's Gospel, you see that very clearly, don't you? He very clearly reveals to us that Jesus is being the light who has come to shine into the darkness. Read a little further in John 8, verse 12 says, Jesus says there of himself, I am the light of the world. The one who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. The lamp coming. The lamp being lifted up and placed on this lampstand, shedding light all around, points us to the person and work of Jesus Christ. This imagery sheds light. This imagery sheds light for us on the person and work of Jesus, bringing the kingdom of God into this world. The light that the Old Testament promised is seen in Jesus Christ, and he will be declared to all the nations. Jesus Christ himself is the light by which people are enabled to see their way into the kingdom of God. That's the whole purpose of God sending His Son, Jesus Christ. It's to enlighten, it's to reveal. At this point in Jesus' earthly mission, the kingdom of God and Jesus' role in it does remain somewhat hidden. But verse 22 says, nothing is hidden except to be revealed, nor has anything been secret, but that it would come to light. For some, they will not see, they won't understand the true meaning of Jesus Christ and His person and work. Remember what we just read in verse 12. To those outside of Jesus Christ, those outside of the kingdom of God, while seeing, they may not perceive. While hearing, they don't understand. Otherwise, they might return and their sins would be forgiven. There's a divine purpose, isn't there? That only those who are chosen by God would find the truth concerning Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God. Yet even the concealment of the present hour where Jesus and his disciples are in their context and time, even that hour contains the seeds of what will be revealed. If the beginnings of the kingdom of God entering into this world, if they don't look favorable or very promising from a human perspective, well, then that serves God's purpose. Jesus Christ is a very unique man. He's on a very unique mission in this world, but he doesn't look unique. He doesn't look extraordinary. And so Jesus invites people to see who He is and to discover the kingdom of God. And yet they can't do that unless they're in fellowship with Him. Nothing is hidden to remain hidden forever. Jesus is hidden somewhat at this point in time in order to be fully revealed at the appointed time. Kingdom of God coming into this world and Jesus' parables that witness to it are like a piece of embroidery. Now, I don't know if you know much about embroidery. I had to learn a little bit about it thanks to another boy in Mikada in Foxton. He chose to do that badge. But you look at a piece of embroidery and you look on the back, and what do you see there? On that side you see this mass of knots and a tangle of threads. That's nothing much to look at, is it? You can't tell what it is by looking at the back side of it. But when you flip it over, as much as there's a mess on the other side, all the while on the other side you see this pattern. It's a finished pattern. It's a beautiful picture. And this too is the figure of Jesus Christ here as he's beginning his ministry. To those outside of Jesus Christ, Jesus is just some homespun rabbi without the credentials of a rabbinic school. He's a Galilean upstart, isn't he? He doesn't conform to the religious norm and expectations. He's a religious rebel. And so, brothers and sisters, the question then is, how can you detect in the ordinary thread of such a life the emerging pattern of the kingdom of God? Well, verse 23 commands us to listen and hear Jesus' word because it is vitally important. Entry into the kingdom of God, recognizing Jesus Christ for who he is, and Jesus Christ then coming to reign over you in your heart and in your life, only comes through hearing his word. The Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 1, he confirms this for us. He says, in him, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who's the first installment of our inheritance in regard to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of his glory. Hearing God's word preached is the primary means of grace that God has given to us. And the Holy Spirit is the one that works within us, opening our eyes of faith and enabling us to see Jesus Christ for who he is. Matthew 28. It's a beautiful passage there in Matthew 28. Jesus gives his 12 disciples the Great Commission. And they are to continue Jesus' preaching and teaching when he's gone, to take his word to all the nations of the world. And brothers and sisters, that's true of Jesus' disciples today. It's true for us too. As Christians, believers in Jesus Christ, who is the light of God, we too are to be like Christ, shining the light of the gospel to everyone around us. We're not to hide the Word of God under a basket, but we are to let the light of Jesus Christ shine before all men so that those with ears to hear might hear. This brings us to our second point this morning. Having seen and heard the light, soak up and shine the light. It's not enough for Jesus' disciples to have heard and seeing Jesus Christ and his word. As Jesus said, there are those who hear the word, these three types of soil where the seed does not grow. But even though they hear the word, they do not understand it or believe it. And so Jesus goes on to say in verse 24, take care what you listen to. Take care what you listen to. Now the Greek word for take care is from the root word for seeing. In other words, carefully see what you hear. Carefully consider what Jesus Christ is saying to you. Pay attention to it. Now, when me and my family lived up in Auckland, we would quite often visit one of the beaches there. And quite often on the beach, there would be this guy walking around with a metal detector for most of the day. Now, I'm not sure if you've ever listened to a metal detector before. It always makes this humming sound as it passes over the ground. But if you want to find metal, you need to listen to it very closely because there is a change in the sound as it passes over that metal. So you can constantly hear that sound of the metal detector, but not yet truly hear the metal detector in order to find anything of value. And so similarly, Jesus is saying you need to not only listen, but carefully listen to what the Word of God is saying. If you want to hear the truth and in the hearing of it, truly understand it. And that's important, brothers and sisters, because the amount of attention that you give to God's Word will be the measure of the profit that you will receive from it. Jesus goes on to say there in verse 24, by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you, and more will be given you besides. Now that's a very old Jewish proverb that occurs in a variety of forms. And one of the forms of that proverb goes like this. In the pot in which you cook for others, you'll have your meal cooked. Now, in other words, the idea of that saying is, if you take a pot of soup over to your neighbor, they're going to use that same pot of pot to make you a soup of the same size. There's this measure to show that you're fairly and equally serving and loving one another. But remember what Mark's gospel is about. Mark's gospel is primarily concerned with whether or not you recognize Jesus Christ for who he is in his person and his work. And in these parables of Jesus that Mark is relaying to us, he's concerned with whether or not we hear the good news of Jesus Christ. And in recognizing recognizing who Jesus is in these parables, he's then concerned with how you and I respond to him. And so we need to try and understand what Mark's trying to teach us in this parable of Jesus about the measure that we use. Now, the basket that's mentioned back in verse 21 is actually the Greek word for measuring bowl. So you can see how the language that's used here in verses 24 and 25 are tied to the language used in verses 21 to 23. You have to see the light of Jesus Christ. You're not to hide it. You're not to conceal it under a measuring bowl when Jesus Christ has revealed it, that is, his word of truth to you. And so Jesus tells us that by your standard of measure, it'll be measured to you. And so this measure that Jesus is referring to is not a measure that you're to use to judge whether or not you and your neighbor are equally loving one another. That's not the point. No, this measure is to be used by you to determine whether or not you are in the kingdom of God. And so Jesus is talking about us measuring ourselves against God's word. Consider yourself. Judge yourself according to it. So after carefully hearing the word, seeing the light, Jesus calls you to carefully consider God's word, to bask in the light of God's word revealed in Jesus Christ. Soak it up as you consider it. Allow it to wash over you in order to cleanse you and to change you from the inside out. Because it's as you do that, that you cannot help but grow. And as you grow in your understanding of God's Word, you will reflect the light of Jesus Christ to others around about you. So the principle that Jesus is teaching us here is of reaping what you sow. Getting a harvest that's equal to the work that you've put into it. Because the effort that you put into studying God's Word will reap you an equal measure of the rewards of that. Not only that, but notice what it says there. You will get even more than you deserve from God's Word. In verse 25, Jesus adds that truth, doesn't he? For whoever has, to him more will be given, and whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. There are only two possible outcomes from hearing God's word. When it comes to Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters, it's all or nothing. Either you understand the mystery concerning the person and work of Jesus Christ, or you don't. if you don't recognize Jesus Christ for who He is, as being the Savior from your sins and Lord over your heart and life, even the Word of God that you have heard will not benefit you. You'll lose any benefit that you could have had from hearing it. But if you do recognize Jesus Christ for who He is, the Word you have heard and have carefully considered, even more will be added to you. As you hear, consider, understand Jesus' words, and as you weigh them, you'll find that the demands of Jesus Christ over your heart and life are disproportionately in your favor. Brothers and sisters, even in thinking about that, you might be thinking to yourself this morning, well, I don't fully understand all of the mysteries concerning Jesus Christ. None of us do, right? There's things that we cannot understand fully about God's Word in this life. All of our efforts in considering and understanding God's Word are really just a mere beginning, just a scratching of the surface. And yet, brothers and sisters, even this small beginning in understanding and recognizing who Jesus Christ is and these beautiful truths that are contained in God's Word, the small beginning means that we will receive far more than we could ever earn or deserve. That's the beauty of the gospel, isn't it? We are forgiven far more than we could ever pay. The verbs that we read in that passage for "it will be measured to you," "it will be added to you," are in the passive voice. Theologians like to call them divine passives, meaning God is the one who will measure it out. God is the one who will add it to you. As sinners deserving God's judgment, we could never earn our way into heaven by seeing Jesus Christ for ourselves. We could never earn our way into heaven by reading God's Word enough. Now, if our salvation depended in any way upon ourselves, we would fall far short of measuring up to God's holy standard, wouldn't we? And so, brothers and sisters, it's only by God's grace, in hearing His Word, in seeing Jesus Christ for who He is, that we're given entrance into the kingdom of God. We have to give thanks to God for that. That in His Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross, and at the fullness of time, when Jesus Christ was unveiled to the world as the Savior of mankind, it was there that He received the penalty that we could never pay. God poured out His wrath on Jesus Christ so that your and my sins could be forgiven. What's greater than that? The blessing of eternal life that we look forward to in Jesus Christ, that blessing is poured out upon us due to God's marvelous grace alone. And so when you measure yourself against God's holy word in light of Jesus Christ, we all see that we have but a little faith. If you read further in the next parable, you'll see that even the small mustard-sized seed of faith in Jesus Christ is enough. Because by faith in Jesus Christ, God has promised that He will give you every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Praise the Lord. Brothers and sisters, I have to ask you this morning, do you see Jesus Christ for who He is? Do you see Jesus Christ for who He is? Do you see Him as being the light of the world? As the King who rules over your heart and your life, to whom you owe all your allegiance? Or is He just another man who lived some 2,000 years ago? Does He mean nothing to you? Key to recognizing Jesus Christ, key to becoming a citizen of the kingdom of God, is through diligent use of the means of grace. That is, are you reading? Are you meditating upon and hearing the preaching of God's Word? And then does that change you? Do you then seek to live faithfully according to the light and the knowledge of God's word that you have then been given? It's my prayer, my plea, that you would continue to grow in your knowledge of the grace of God and Jesus Christ, and that you would rely on Him alone each and every day for His ongoing grace. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord and merciful Heavenly Father, it is such a wonderful blessing and privilege that we have the opportunity to gather together to hear Your Word, to receive the proclamation of salvation through Jesus Christ. Dear Lord, we pray that You'd give us an appreciation and love for You and Your Word. May we acknowledge how necessary it is for us to hear it and to believe it and to seek to strive to live by it and to share it with others. May we shine the light of the gospel to everyone around us. We ask, O Lord, that we would do this not in our own strength, but in Your strength, that You would give us all that we stand in need of, that You would give us the right words. Dear Lord, we do pray that You would give us a day of blessed rest. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.